Why am I not able to live in this knowledge? So that is Arjuna's next question. So Bhagwan answers in verse number 33, why people even after knowing this knowledge are not able to progress. Sadrisham cheshtate swasyaha prakritir jnanavanapi prakritim yanti bhutani nigraha kin karishyati. Together, sadrisham cheshtate swasyaha prakritir jnanavanapi prakritim yanti bhutani nigraha kin karishyati. He says, why people are not able to practice this? So he says, sadrisham, according to cheshtate, means they work, or they exert, they work, swasya prakritehe, each one works according to his or her own prakriti. What is prakriti? Prakriti we'll talk about. So each one of us works according to our prakriti. Even a jnanavan api, api means even a jnanavan, even a man of wisdom or a wise person works according to their prakriti. And bhutani, and all beings, prakritim yanti, they go to their nature. Go to what is their nature? Nigraha kim karishyati. What can control do? So this verse says that everybody acts according to his nature, and the nature is very powerful, and therefore control cannot do anything. So this sounds like a very pessimistic verse. Each one of us, you know, like people say, you know what, I'm a very angry person, and don't get me angry, you know. Somebody I was reading, he says, I get angry. He says, no, you don't get angry. You choose to be angry, because in situations, it is your choice. Like your boss is shouting at you. Do you get angry? No, you choose not to be angry. No matter if the boss is shouting unreasonably and criticizing you, you just be quiet. You don't. But on the other hand, if your child misbehaves, you just slap him one without even finding out the reason. There you choose to get angry. So anger doesn't come, but you choose anger. So same way here people say, my nature is like that. By nature I'm a lazy person, or by nature I'm a dull person, or by nature. No, he says, even though you have certain nature, things can be changed. So we'll discuss this verse a little bit. So as we said, prakriti is nature. So there are two interpretations. One is nature is this total nature that has created all these mountains and plains and desert and birds, plants, fish. So that is one prakriti. That is one meaning of prakriti. But here, when he talks about prakriti, he's talking about our individual nature. Each one of us has certain nature, prakriti. And it is a mixture of sattva, rajas and tamas, each and every one of us. We have some sattva, some purity, some rajas, some action, activity, and then tamas or laziness. So all of us have all three, and we are a mixture. So prakriti is our nature. What kind of person I am? Am I a more an intellectual person, or am I a more emotional person, or am I a more action-oriented person who likes to work? So some people are body-oriented. They say, I don't believe in scriptures, I don't want to go to the temple, but you give me a project, I'll do it, I'll go and work. Others people say, you know, I'm a very emotional person. When I listen to bhajans, I start crying, and when I go to the temple, I see the Lord's form and my heart melts. So that's your nature. And somebody says, I don't believe in going to temple, I don't believe too much in work, I want to sit down and study. So, depending on our nature, one person may be action predominant, other person may be love predominant, other person may be knowledge predominant. So, he says that Prakriti is what our nature is. And even a Gyanavan, even a knowledgeable person, is propelled by his Prakriti, by his nature. Now, when he says Gyanavan, when I was reading the commentary of the Bhagavad Gita, there are two kinds of wise people, Gyanavan. One is called Paroksh Anubhuti, and other one is called Aparoksh Anubhuti. I'll translate that. Paroksh Anubhuti means, para means other person, aksha means eyes, anubhuti. So one who has studied the scriptures with somebody else's eyes. So what it means is Swami Chinmayananda, through his understanding, wrote the Bhagavad Gita. So I sit and read it, and I have understood it fully. Yes, Swamiji, I have understood your Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna, whatever you have said in the Gita, I have totally understood. But it is not her own experience yet. He or she has not experienced that I am that consciousness, has not been able to bring it into their life. So, like a wise person like Gurudev or Jesus, or they lived the life, they lived Bhagavad Gita, they lived the Bible, the Quran. But you and I are still at the Paroksh Anubhuti level, where we have heard from the teacher, but we have not yet fully able to abide in that teaching. So, for such a person, that is one Gyanvan, who has studied the scriptures, knows it fully, can even chant the Bhagavad Gita, but is not able to live it. And then the second group, Gyanvan, is Aparoksh, like Gurudev, who not only has studied the Bhagavad Gita, but lives it. So, both of them work according to their Prakriti. So, first let us talk about the wise person, the realized master. He or she will live according to their Prakriti. What do we mean by that? Suppose Swami Vivekananda, everybody has heard of Swami Vivekananda, were given a choice. Do you want to eat Bengali food or do you want to eat Western food? He'll say Bengali food because he grew up in Bengal. But tomorrow, when he came to the US, he didn't get Bengali food. So whatever food was available, he ate. There's no insistence. Yes, I prefer Bengali food, but when I'm traveling in the States and I don't get, I'm not going to say, you know, from somebody has to go to Calcutta and bring. No. Whatever is available to the best of his circumstances. Same way, a realized master who's born in the West, somebody like Eckhart Tolle, is a very evolved soul. What clothes will he wear? He doesn't have to wear orange clothes like a sannyasi. He can wear a shirt and pant. So that is called Prakriti, because from childhood he has been wearing a shirt. So it does not mean a realized master should only be wearing orange, he cannot be wearing shirt and pant. No. Depending on what they grew up in or what they have been always doing, they will continue to do it as a preference, not as an insistence. So he will not say that this is the way how a realized master should be, because you and I cannot judge. So whatever they have been doing from childhood, they will do it. But if the situation comes where they are not able to, they will adjust or accommodate with the situation. Why? Because inside they know that I am the consciousness. And same thing, whatever is happening to the body, mind, intellect is not happening to me. But you and I, who have studied the scriptures but still are not that evolved, we get easily disturbed. And we do what our Prakriti tells us. But we have an insistence, this is the only way it should happen. And so we insist for ourselves and we insist for others. And when things don't work out the way we want, we get upset. So he says, for a person who has studied the scriptures but is unable to follow, and why is that? Because his mind is not yet evolved. His mind is still under the influence of likes and dislikes. We'll talk about that. So how do we evolve? So like there is a money game, you know, say person just came from the forest and has never seen dollars or cents or pounds. and you gave him money. He said, what is this? He said, this is money. You can go with this, buy food. You can buy a house, buy a car. Oh, I can do all that? Yeah, yeah. So he's so fascinated with money. Oh, I must have money, I must have. And so he'll go buy a house and car. And then slowly he earns a lot, and now he is a billionaire, millionaire, and he's bought shares and in the stock market, gained and lost a lot of money, houses here. But then for him, money becomes a game where he says, money is not that important. Some people are still very attached to money. But truly, if a person is evolved, then he says, yeah, money is something I use, but it's not the most important thing in my life. That is how one should evolve. Same thing, the pleasure game. In the beginning, pleasures are very important. I must have this fun. I must go here. I must go to movies. I must go to parties. I must eat this. I must drink this. I must wear this. I must get this. I must. So that's called the pleasure game in which we are caught. But slowly you evolve and say, these pleasures are not giving me permanent joy. Okay, I bought a big house. Okay, I have a big car. Okay, I have so many clothes. I have so much money. I have a big bank balance. But it's not giving me the final pleasure. So that is what the Bhagavad Gita says. Get out of this pleasure game. How long will you be caught in earning, acquiring? Slowly turn your mind away from objects, emotions, thoughts towards God. And learn to control your life. This is a very beautiful story about the kangaroo. I really enjoyed when I heard it. So they said there was a kangaroo in the zoo. And there was a 10-foot fence around his enclosure. And in the morning they found the kangaroo had escaped. So they caught him and brought him back. They said the 10-foot is not big enough. They made a 20-foot high enclosure. Again, next morning, the kangaroo's out. How did he escape? Let's make it higher. They make a 30-foot enclosure. And still in the morning, the kangaroo's out. So now they are building 40-foot. So the giraffe asked the kangaroo. He says, how long do you think, how high they will make the enclosure? Kangaroo says, I don't care how long they make the enclosure, as long as they leave the gate open. So they kept making bigger and forgot to close the gate. So that is how we all are. You know, we keep progressing so much spiritually or materially. Oh, we progress so much. I become the president or I become the CEO. But our mind still escapes in these small, small desires, and we find great leaders, some temptation they are caught in, and they get into big trouble. You know, something they do wrong, some scandal, and all their whatever they have acquired is all gone. Why? Because their mind, they have not kept it controlled. It runs out. They may have acquired, and same thing in spirituality. People may have progressed so much, but if their mind is not under control, we see, unfortunately, so many spiritual leaders, you know, who are molesting children. And it's not only in Christianity. It is in every faith. It happens in Pakistan, in the religious schools. It happens everywhere in the world, even in India. So just because a person has progressed spiritually does not automatically make him. He may have studied a lot. He may have read. He may be able to give talks and discourses and give sermons. But if he has not controlled the gate of his mind, the mind will run out. And the first opportunity, unfortunately, it's a very sad subject, and we just heard about it in Pennsylvania. So the point is that these people have built a lot of spiritual, you know, what is stamina, but when their mind is not controlled, given the opportunity, it runs out. So that's why Bhagwan says that you have to control your lower tendencies, your vasanas. And how do I progress spiritually? Why don't I progress spiritually? What is my biggest problem? You see, I do not love myself. So first love yourself, then only you can love others. Love myself does not mean you become selfish for me, but I have to accept myself, love myself. A lot of people have problem loving themselves because they say, I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think I'm a good person. I have this bad habit, that bad habit. So we are our worst critics. So they say, love yourself first, then and then alone you can love the world. And how does control come? So it's like New Year's resolution. You know, you make a New Year's resolution. Unless it is your resolution, you will not follow it. Somebody else says, you know what, you don't exercise enough. From January 1st, this is your resolution. You're going to the gym 3 times a week. He's not going to do it unless he himself decides that I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week. Same thing for a student. You tell him you need to study. Why? Because if you don't study, you won't get into a good college. If you don't get into a good college, you won't become a lawyer or doctor or engineer. Or you will, you know, unless he himself is convinced. So for us to grow spiritually, we have to be convinced. The best example is a pilot. I was just reading somewhere. So he says there is a pilot and he has put in his flight plan. I'm going to fly to Bakersfield. So he takes off from Phoenix to land in Bakersfield, and it's a very foggy day. There's a lot of fog and he can't see, you know, where the airport is. But obviously with radar and all, he can be directed and land in Bakersfield. Suddenly, and what does he have to do? He has to slow down his engines. The engine which are running at full speed, he slows down his engine and then goes through the fog and then gradually land in Bakersfield. But he decides, Bakersfield is a very boring place. You know, there's nothing to do over here. I'm going to go to Las Vegas. Suddenly he decides, and he said, I have enough fuel. I want to have fun in Las Vegas. It's a great place. You can stay up all night and gamble and all that. I want to go to Bay. So he changes his flight and goes to Bay. You will say, what kind of a person is this? You decided to fly and your passengers are counting on you, but you feel like... But that is how you and I are. Because of the fog of ignorance, we have so much fog of it, so we can't see our goal. And even though the teacher has told us, but we say, I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like, you know, getting up in the morning and meditate 5 o'clock. It's too much. I would rather sleep till 7, 8 o'clock. Aram se utho kya life, you live only once, and, you know, getting meditating and studying, and it's a waste of time. Enjoy your life, maybe after 65, 70, if you feel like it, do it. So even though our goal is clear because of ignorance and because of I don't feel like doing it, we don't do it. So that's what they're saying, that even though we have this knowledge, but unless we are convinced that this knowledge is for me, we will go in the wrong direction, just as the pilot. Even though his goal was Bakersfield, he took everybody to Las Vegas. So that is the essence of this verse. I was going to do 2, but since we did the introduction first, so I won't do the 3rd verse today. We have about 10 or 12 minutes for questions. So we'll leave the 3rd verse for next week. Generally, I try to do 3 verses in an hour, but because of we spent little time in summarizing the entire Gita, because a lot of us were not here in the summer. So I thought, I'll end here, and we have about 10 or 12 minutes. Anybody would like to add any questions, anything?
I have an example for this. Even a wise man acts according to their nature. Tapovanti and Chinmayananji, look at those 2%.
Yes.
The highest evolved people. Still, Tapovanti chose to sit in his kutia and meditate, versus Chinmayananji went out in the world teaching people.
Right.
So their 2 natures are different.
Yes.
So they're involved in the same height.
True.
So I thought that was
very good. Very good example. I don't know if those who maybe couldn't hear her very clearly, but she said Tapovan Maharaj, even though he and Swami Chinmayananji both were at the same level, but Tapovan Maharaj chose to stay in the Himalayas. And Chinmayananji traveled all over the world to spread this knowledge. Chinmayananji learnt it from Tapovan Maharaj's guru. Was the guru, exactly. So their nature is different, even though they are both equally evolved. And so, yeah, that is a beautiful example. Thank you.
How do you find out your nature?
That's a very good question. How do we find our nature? I think we know from childhood, you know, and as we grow, we slowly, our likes and dislikes change. In the beginning, a child only acts on based, we'll talk next week about likes and dislikes. What do I like, what I dislike, that's number one. Number two, what I enjoy doing, that is my nature. What is it that I get joy in? Not only just joy for the body, but joy for the soul. What is it that, and ultimately, I think when you read the scriptures, as I said, where do I fit in? You know, am I not even on this path, or am I a beginner? So by self-analysis, I come to know what is my nature. And then, as I said, somebody may be action-oriented, somebody may be emotional, somebody may be intellectual, or you are a mixture of all three. So based on my own analysis, or as I said, you can ask a guru or a wise person who knows you as to what should be my goal in life, what should be my purpose in life. And ultimately, I think when we read the scriptures, what appeals to me the most, is it the intellectual, or for some people it is bhakti literature. You know, they read Narad Bhakti Sutra and they're, this is most wonderful. Another person says, I want to read Brahma Sutras. You know, so what you enjoy reading, what kind of people you enjoy associating with, like do you like to associate with alcoholics, or do you like to associate with golfers, or do you like to associate with businessmen, or do you like to associate with spiritual people? So all those questions, when you answer within yourself, then you come to know what is my nature.
Almost all of them be really looking for their sense pleasure.
Right, true.
Until maybe they start looking into the spiritual,
yes,
studies. So it's kind of difficult to figure it out.
Yeah, so that's what Bhagavan Krishna says in another place. He says, out of thousands of people, only one person seeks this spiritual knowledge. And out of thousands who seek this spiritual knowledge, only one reaches me. So the point is that it is very rare to find people who are interested in this spirituality.
That is discouraging.
No, it's not discouraging. Actually, you should congratulate yourself, and we should all congratulate ourselves that we are here discussing this. How many people, like I said, there's 500,000 people in Bakersfield. But if 50 of us or 40 of us are here, we should congratulate ourselves that we are interested in studying this knowledge instead of becoming discouraged. See, I cannot go change the world. I cannot bring the other 500. If they all came, there would be no place anyway in this room. But the point is, I cannot change all the 500,000. All I can do is change my, I cannot even change my spouse, forget about, or my child, forget about changing the world. You cannot change anybody. All you can do is change yourself and find out what is my goal, what is my purpose. And I'm here to evolve. If in the process I help a few others, that's wonderful. That's great. But it's not that it's a selfish path. My goal is to help others evolve too. But first I have to evolve myself. I have to grow, then only I can help others to grow by my example. So it's not a discouraging path. It is a fact of life that majority of the people are not interested in this. And how many people, you know, go to, or even if they go to church, do they really even follow? They just go because, you know, my parents used to go and I go. They just show up on Sunday, they just listen, and they half the time they're sleeping in the sermon. Why? Because So there are very few. In fact, somebody asked Swami Tejomayananda one time, why only 200 people come to your lecture, 250? And when there is a famous singer or actor like Shah Rukh Khan, there's 5,000 people, 10,000 people, stadiums are filled up, and $1,000 tickets, and still there, Salman Khan came, tickets were $1,000, and still the stadium was packed. It was thousands of, he said, for his act, thousands of people are coming, And for your lecture, Swamiji, only 250 people come. You know what Swamiji said? He said, I'm surprised even 250 are coming. Is that because majority of people are not in, they would rather go and watch some dance show and some music and pay thousands of dollars. My God, and what a waste of time. How many children you could feed with that $1,000? You know, how many hungry people? And people just waste their money on just useless things. It amazes me, you know. Again, I mean, I shouldn't be the one judging, you know. I'm not here to judge, but it's just once you get this knowledge, then you realize that how foolishly we have, and I'm as much guilty of it, how foolishly we have been living our life and how we should grow. So how long are you going to be just stuck in the world? So that is, I don't know if that answered your question or no.
Still figured out. It's hard to figure it out because we are always thinking of sense pleasures.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, we have to figure it out. I think by your own thinking. I think by own thinking and by the scriptures and by the guru. I think nobody else can tell you your nature. Only you can tell. Maybe your spouse can. She definitely can. Yes.
You know, you said like everybody works as per their nature.
Right.
So they follow, some people follow bhakti mark, karma, yajna, or
right.
meditation. So which is the best? Like, which is the best to reach God?
I think, in my opinion, all of them. You should do all together, you know, because do little bit of everything. Do some karma yoga, some service, do some puja every morning. Do some reading and do some meditation. Do all. Because ultimately...
You know, sometimes per your nature, you like certain things
right.
more than the other.
Yeah, so one will be predominant. Like predominantly you may be a reader or predominantly a meditator or predominantly you maybe like to go out and build houses for humanity or you like to go to the temple and pray, which is predominant. But do all, you know. I had told that joke, remember, take no chances, do all three. So take no chances, because I have also told this before, but it's a very beautiful, in Vishnu Sahasranama, one of God's name is Durga, or fort, Durga, not Durga, but Durga, fort. So Swami Chinmayananda says, just like a fort, when you want to capture, what you do, you surround from all sides. And so the people in the fort cannot escape and they don't get food, they don't get weapons, and that's how you overcome. So same way, God, if you want to capture him, surround him from all sides so he can't escape. Surround him with bhakti and karma and jnana and meditation. Where will he go? Bichara, he'll be stuck. So capture him. He can't go anywhere, you know, where can he go? He says, I'm trying to escape. No, he caught me with karma, then with bhakti, with jnana, with meditation. He cannot get out. So the point is that when you want to attain something, you use all your resources. So do all. But one or the other will be predominant. But do little bit of every day. Do some service, some puja, some prayer, some study and meditation. Do all four.
Or Bhagwan will think that poor thing is trying so hard.
Exactly. That's another way. He will say, Bichara is working hard. Instead of Bhagwan, Bichara.
If you're working in all three quarters or four quarters.
Right.
But your concentration is not totally into it when you're doing it. Then that particular door is weak.
Absolutely.
So you right. need to be, whatever you do, you have to have your full concentration in it.
Right. Very true.
Whether you do four signs or six signs, every time you do something, your concentration is fully in it. Otherwise, that door gets weaker.
Right. So whatever you do with full attention. And your goal should be very clear. What is my goal in life? I have but one goal in life. And at least if you leave from here, leave with that one line. I have one goal in life, and that is to reach God. And that has to be the goal of every individual, whether you believe it or not, whether you understand it or not. If not in this lifetime, in next lifetime, somewhere along the way, You have to make that your goal. So say in this life, my goal is to reach God. That's it. Everything else is secondary. Taking care of my kids, my husband, my work, my money, my all those things are secondary. My one goal is to reach God. And whatever is required, I will do it. Whatever I have to do, I will do. So make that your goal in this life. I have to realize. Everything else I have to do. We are not saying you give up your job as a mother or as a father or as a daughter or a sister. Do all those. But everything comes secondary to that goal. And that is, I think, the best message that we can take. That in this life, I must reach God. Not next life, five lives from now, I am a sinner. Nothing. I have to reach. In another place, Bhagavan says, even the greatest sinner, if he turns towards me in love, my doors are open for him. So nobody is such a great sinner that they cannot reach God. There is no such thing. Nobody say, oh, I am too far away, you know, I am not that evolved, I don't know. No. If you have love for God, his door is open, always open. So can end with that. Just couple of quick announcements. September 2nd is Janamashtami. It's on the board, so please come. And September 16th will be Ganesh Chaturthi. Janamashtami will be done in the evening because it's a Sunday, but it's a long weekend. The 16th Ganesh Chaturthi will be done in the main hall, and we'll have. And then September 10 to 14, we have a very wonderful teacher, Srimati Padmaja Joshi. She is a householder like us, but did a 2-year course. Very evolved, very wonderful teacher. Some of us listened to her online, and she'll be here. We are blessed to have her September 10 to 14. So please check your emails, or you will be getting flyers, or there are flyers on the wall on the entrance door, so you can write down. But she'll be here. The evening classes will be 7 to 8:30. The topic is Gyan Sar, Essence of Knowledge. And those of you who are free in the afternoon, there is Krishnashtakam, very beautiful hymn to Sri Krishna, which not only has bhakti, but has a lot of knowledge also. So not only devotion, but knowledge. So please mark your calendars, and we'll see you next Sunday. Thank you. Hari Om. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhavet. Om shanti shanti shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo. Hari Om.